Well, as has been mentioned a couple of different times, this is the last Sunday of the year. And oftentimes, it is a time when people start thinking back on what the year allowed them to learn and look forward to things different in 2021. And that's exactly what New Year's does for a lot of people. It sort of forces us into that moment where we take a look at things that we did in the past, resolve to do things differently. It's kind of a fresh start. You know, we kind of look at things a little bit different. January 1st is always that day where we say, okay, what are going to be your resolutions for the new year? I'm pretty sure that none of us want to relive 2020. So if we were going to resolve to do things the same in 2020, I would, you know, recommend a good counselor. You know, she's sitting right over there. But anyway, I think all of us are kind of looking forward to 2021 and looking forward to things being done different. But 2020 did give us the opportunity to maybe rediscover some things. Maybe you had the opportunity to rediscover what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. I mean, when you think about it, so many other things were taken away from us that we were left with a lot of time, weren't we? I mean, shelter in place gave us the opportunity to do a lot of reflecting, to think about things different than we had before. Maybe you did take the time to read the Bible or to learn more about things, the disciplines like fasting and servanthood and some of those kinds of things, listening to God, studying the Bible, even solitude. And I know that there's a lot of people that say, well, really? Solitude is an important discipline in Scripture? Yeah. Yeah, it is. But too often we busy ourselves with so many things that we don't take the time to just be alone with God. And I know what some of you are thinking. Alone with God? Boring. Well, if you want to think about it that way, it can be. But 2020 has given us the opportunity to maybe deepen our faith and rediscover the power of prayer. Over the last 2 months, I've been specifically talking about prayer. You know, the reason for that, it was intentional. The reason for that is because we need to reach out in prayer. And we need to do it in more than just the ways that we are very familiar with when it comes to prayer. When it comes to prayer, oftentimes we do get into a rut. There are lots of different types of prayer in Scripture. We've talked about a number of them. Prayers of praise and adoration, prayers of confession and thanksgiving and petition and repentance, intercession, corporate prayers, scripture prayers, blessing prayers, prayers of preservation, God's character prayers. That's just a small list of the many different kinds of prayer that are in Scripture. But what we tend to do as human beings is we tend to get locked into a certain type of prayer. And it usually falls into one of two categories. Either we are interceding on behalf of somebody else, or we are petitioning God to take care of some need that we have. I need some health. I need some food. I need some provisions. I need some shelter. God, please take care of my needs or the needs of my family and those that I love. And so we tend to get into a rut. On occasion, we throw in a thank you prayer. You know, thank you for the food. Thank you for the clothes. Thank you for the health that I have, et cetera, et cetera. But we kind of limit ourselves to maybe those two or three different types of prayer, which is why I think this 2020 has given us an opportunity to learn about the different kinds of prayers, especially the prayers of praise, the prayers of adoration, the prayers where we just simply pour out our love. And so maybe as 2021 is facing you, you're thinking to yourself, or maybe you have thought this already, I'm going to be able, now in 2021, I'm going to be able to pray better. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to pray deeper. I'm going to understand prayer a little bit more. I think that I am going to make 2021 my year of prayer. And I applaud that, because prayer is so prevalent in Scripture. Praying as worship, taking time to simply exalt God's character and praise Him, all of these kinds of things should be a priority. However, if I were to ask you, every time you've made a New Year's resolution, how long have you kept it? Many of us would probably say, well, we had really good intentions for about the first 24 hours. Maybe if we're lucky, we were able to do it for a week or maybe a month, but boy, I tell you, it gets tough. There are so many roadblocks, and it is the same thing with prayer. If we have decided in our heart that we are going to pray more, pray deeper, pray better, Satan is going to put up some roadblocks. Philip Neri says, there is nothing the devil fears so much or so much tries to hinder as prayer. And I really believe that's true. The minute that a Christian says, I am going to connect more with God, I am going to pray more, I'm going to pray deeper, I'm going to really communicate through the Holy Spirit's power in prayer, Satan is going to throw up roadblocks. Satan knows that if he can convince you that prayer is just a hopeless wish, that pretty soon you'll have no power in your prayers. Satan can convince us, and he does convince us, that prayer really is a worthless exercise. All you're doing is just talking into the air. Your prayers are hitting the ceiling, maybe. But God's ears? Hardly. Satan is very good at giving us many, many opportunities to say, I choose not to take my needs, not to take my praises, not to take my worship to God in prayer. You see, God's word understands that Satan is going to throw up roadblocks. He's going to try to hinder our prayers. And so God, in his wisdom, decided to give us some scriptures that remind us of these roadblocks so that you can avoid them. I mean, it makes sense. If I want to deepen my prayer life, one of the ways that I can do that is by knowing the things that are going to hinder my prayer life and try to avoid them, because Satan is throwing up those roadblocks. So today, we're going to talk about some of those things that could easily hinder prayer that you'll find in God's word. The first one of these roadblocks that are a hindrance to our prayer, the first one is obviously a lack of faith. Now, it just makes sense. You can find this in Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 25. It may sound like a no-brainer, but Mark chapter 11 talks about this whole idea. Let me read these words to you. Mark chapter 11. Oops, that's 10. Jesus' own words, he says, have faith in God, Jesus answered, and he was talking to his disciples, by the way. They had already seen him curse a fig tree, and when they came by the next day, it was dead all the way down to the roots, completely withered. They said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered, and Jesus says, have faith in God. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Now, why would Jesus offer this little piece of advice to his disciples? First of all, they were astonished. They were simply astonished that something that Jesus asked for happened. And so Jesus, speaking to them, basically is saying that the power that he has to tell a tree to die and wither, and it happens in 24 hours, is the same power that is available to all. Now, I know you might be saying, yeah, but he was God. You know, he kind of had a little bit of an in, but he was still man. He was still human, fully God, but fully human. And so he understood that there is a power in prayer that oftentimes we don't tap into because we do not believe. I've had issues, I'm sure everybody has had issues, saying things like, oh, I'm not going to take that to God in prayer because he really doesn't care about that. He's not going to do anything about that. Why would he? I mean, he's God. my little small little problem? Why would he care? And so because of our lack of faith, we just say, you know, it's all going to work out eventually. You know, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. And God is not going to move mountains just for me. And yet here God is saying, you know, if you say to the mountain, move, it will. Yeah, but God, you don't know how big my mountain is. I'm pretty sure he does. I'm pretty sure he does. Will any of us ever attain the level of power that God gave to Jesus? Probably not. Because we are still prone to failure. We are still human beings. And Satan is still going to constantly put into our path that doubt, that little bit of doubt that says, you don't need to pray in God's power because he's got bigger fish to fry. He's got other things going on. He's got world hunger to try to solve. And he's got this war going on over here. And your problems are not big enough for God. And so we will fall short. We will fall short of the potential power in prayer. And Jesus sees that even in his own disciples. Instead of going, oh yeah, Jesus cursed that tree and it died. Of course it did, because that's the kind of power that he has. They went, wow. Really? Seriously? I mean, how many times, think about the disciples, how many times were they astounded at the things that Jesus was able to do? He was able to calm the seas in the wind. He was able to raise people from the dead. And every time, they were just dumbfounded. If that happened to them, of course that's going to happen to us. But one of the greatest roadblocks to prayer and to having powerful prayer is this roadblock of, I just don't believe. I don't have enough faith. Now, I have to be very careful here, because a lot of people have taken this passage of Scripture and they have said, okay, well, then if I do believe that God is going to do something, this Scripture says if I believe enough, it will be done for me. So if it's not done for me, that must mean that I didn't have enough faith. I have to be very careful, because that's not true. There are some very powerful and godly people in Scripture that prayed for things, like the Apostle Paul, who prayed and prayed and prayed that the Lord would remove a thorn in his flesh. And it was never taken away. Did that mean that Paul didn't have faith? No. It just meant that God wanted Paul to realize, my grace is sufficient for you. Sometimes we think that we're praying in the right manner. I'll get to that in a minute. But we need to realize that sometimes what we think is the best is not always the best for us. And just because we have the faith that God can remove it doesn't mean that he will, or vice versa. The other interesting thing about this verse that Jesus is talking about, and he just kind of blends these two together, and if you don't think about it, you might miss it, is he reminds us that part of the reason that we do not have power in prayer is because of another roadblock to faith, and that is holding grudges or not forgiving, being unforgiving. If we are harboring unforgiveness, if we are holding grudges, we are so tied to our past and our past hurts that the power is sucked right out of our prayers. And it is really easy to harbor grudges and hold on to unforgiveness. Some people have held on to grudges and unforgiveness for 50, 60, 70 years. And it is a hindrance to the power of our prayers. Jesus just simply tells his disciples, go ahead and believe. But one of the biggest reasons why people don't believe is because they are holding things against others. Well, another roadblock can be found in the writings of James. James provides us with this roadblock, wrong motives. I alluded to it a little bit ago. The reason that we do not have what we ask for in prayer is because we pray with wrong motives. James, 4, 1 through 3 is Oops. It really says it clearer than I can. It just says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you do ask God, you do not receive it because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. We pray so that we can receive, so that it makes our lives easier, so that we can spend what we get on ourselves. Ah, selfishness. That's the original sin. It really is. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, what was it that Satan did? He came up to Adam and Eve and he said, I think that you really need to eat that fruit, even though you know God said don't. Eat from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because if you do, you will be like God. Don't you want to be like God? Selfishness. Self is more important than God. And here James is saying it's been the same forever and ever. We pray because of what it's going to do for me and how it's going to bless me. Now, there are times for that. But if that's the only focus of our prayers, if we forget that sometimes we need to pray because we need to honor God, we need to lift Him, we need to magnify Him, we need to do things so that people see God and glorify the Father in heaven, if our motive for praying is just selfish, then we have thrown up a roadblock. The Apostle Peter also spoke about a hindrance to prayer. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, he says marital discord can be a roadblock to prayer. Marital discord. That's kind of a surprising one to a lot of people. But in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, it says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Did that surprise you? The Apostle Peter is recognizing that sometimes the discord that we have within our own human relationships can be then transferred into our spiritual relationships. A lot of people don't even think that the way I live with my children or my spouse has anything to do with their prayer life. And here Peter is very clear. You treat one another with respect. You love one another. You honor one another. Because if you aren't, it's hindering your prayer life. Not only is it doing damage to your marriage, but it is hindering your connection and your communication with God. So if we need to have a better prayer life in 2021, we need to also have stronger marriages. These things are just now starting to fit together a little more clearly. But there's one more that I want to just mention, and that's found in the book of 1 John. We've talked about what Jesus said. We've talked about what James has said, what Peter has said. And now we're going to take a look at what John says. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. In other words, the roadblock is not praying in God's will. And it kind of goes back to the one that we were talking about with selfishness. But the whole idea of praying in God's will is really, really difficult, because there are a lot of things that we would like not to be God's will. A few days ago, one of the dear ladies from this church, Cheryl Shunk, passed away. And I'm not saying this because I want to specifically cause more pain to the Shunk family, but I was encouraged by Ray. Throughout the whole day, throughout the whole time that I was talking to Ray, he continually said, remember this. This is God's will. This is God's will. Even as we were leaving the gravesite and Maddie was helping him so that he didn't stumble, he made sure and look at his granddaughter and say, "This is God's will." And I know Maddie said, I know, Grandpa. But sometimes that just doesn't sink in because we don't want it to be God's will. And sometimes we get frustrated because we don't understand God's will. And it doesn't make sense to us. God, why is it your will that somebody I love so deeply is taken away from me? And it is hard to pray because praying in God's will doesn't always feel good. But it is good because God's will is always good. Of course, when I am not praying in God's will, but I'm praying in my own will, then he's probably not going to be listening to my prayers. And yet the Holy Spirit is always going to be around me because the Holy Spirit's job is to convict me of my sin. The Holy Spirit's job is to help me know where I am putting up roadblocks to prayer. The Holy Spirit's job is to continually remind me of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, because there are lots of other kinds of hindrances to prayer. Sometimes I just don't think my problem is big enough for God. Sometimes I don't pray because I think I already know the answer. After all, God gave me brains, so why do I need to take it to God in prayer? Sometimes we don't take things to God in prayer because, well, God didn't answer my last prayer the way I wanted it, and so I'm hurt. And so I'm not going to do that again. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me thing. Sometimes we don't pray because we think that God has forgotten about us. I've sinned too much. I've walked away from God too often. God can't possibly want to hear from me now. The last reason that some people don't pray is because they don't think they are eloquent enough. I don't have the right words. I just talk simply. Reminds me a lot of Moses saying, "I can't take your message to the Pharaoh. I ain't got good speeching. I don't know how to do it. I don't know what words to say." We can't devise a prayer with eloquent enough words to impress God. So why try? Just bring your needs to him. Because as Matthew chapter 6 verse 8 says, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And as Romans chapter 8 verses 26 and 27 says, the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So if we are not sure what to pray or how to pray, believe that the Holy Spirit is going to help. And he will. 2021 is coming upon us quickly. It's a great opportunity to reconnect and have deeper communication with God than you ever have before. Exalt his character. Humble yourself before him and he will lift you up. Pray like you've never prayed before because you understand that there are roadblocks in the way. But with the Holy Spirit, you can overcome. We have a song that we're going to sing as we close this service. But I really want to challenge you. If 2020 has given you the time to be able to do these things, let 2021 be the year that you continue. Continue your Bible reading. Continue your learning about prayer and participating in different kinds of prayer. Allow worship to become a daily part of your life. Because the Lord loves you. He wants you to live in him as deeply as you possibly can. Please stand with me as we sing the song, Angels We Have Heard on High.